On today's episode, we're going to wrap up season one by doing a quick recap of all the topics we've hit so far. We're going to look ahead at season two and talk about some of our goals moving forward. My name is Taylor, and welcome to episode 9 of Escaping Left, Right, and Center. Centrism, and that was the last item on my season one outline that I wanted to cover. So my goal today, we're going to quickly just rip through the past 8 episodes. We're going to touch on some of the key takeaways from each of them, and then how that's going to inform the next chapter of this podcast. So before we get into the recaps, I think it might be worthwhile to just generally restate some of the things that we touched upon at the very beginning. So I suppose this could count as the episode one recap. In episode one, we laid out the general format for how we were going to do things, the goals of the podcast, and the three big ones were, while we were discussing certain topics, we were going to try and avoid cliches, tropes, platitudes, that kind of, you know, political in speak, I guess you could call it, just so that we would be forced to think more critically about things and not use these overloaded terms to inauthentically jump to conclusions, right? We don't want to make these grand assumptions in the way that we're thinking. That also, one of the things we talked about, helps us to avoid reductionist thinking, where we just take a complicated thought and boil it down into a word or two or phrase. And hopefully, I think we've succeeded to some extent, probably not perfectly, but as I've gone through these past 8 episodes, these three things have sort of been front of mind when talking about certain issues. Some of the other things we talked about in episode one was that the purpose of this podcast at a very high level is just a tool for me personally to clarify my own thought process about a lot of things. When you intake news of any variety from any source or publication, it gets very noisy and chaotic. Please excuse my voice. I'm feeling a bit under the weather these past few days. But the show must go on. So, in working to clarify my own thought process, my goal was to build a comprehensive framework that political ideas could pass through and come out the other side with some type of conclusion. And the purpose of that was to just generally give a more positive energy to my political thinking, because I think many of us suffer from, you know, it's tough sledding out there. It's not necessarily a fun time. So when you just digest or attempt to digest the myriad of nonsense in the world, I think it can get you down. So my hope is that as we continue to move forward, we'll be able to construct something that gives a sort of forward momentum, shall we say. So that was kind of the gist of episode one. And hopefully, like I said, we've been sticking to some of those ideas these past few episodes. So then in episode two, we kind of began to get down into the meat and potatoes of some of the content. Episode two was titled, What's the Big Problem? And in this, we took an in-depth look at the general concept of partisanism in the United States. So we looked at the Federalist Papers, the Washington Farewell Speech. We saw that the founders knew about factions and partisan thinking. They saw it coming. They put some guards in place. But ultimately, since there is no formal check against factions in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, anything like that, it did flourish, and rather quickly. So then in episode three, we got into, well, where did the language of left versus right come from? So we saw in episode two that pretty quickly these groups established themselves, but when did we start using this left and right language. We went a little bit down the rabbit hole with the French Revolution. We discovered that the terms left and right are basically a seating chart from the French Revolution. And that was about it. And back then, and especially now, I think most people would agree that the terms are vague, general, unhelpful, unnuanced, and really just not a great way to try and capture the spectrum of political thought. We looked at a couple other newer spectrum ideas from some different folks, and they each of them had similar problems just because it's so difficult to have a nuanced picture of such a wide range of thoughts in something as simple as a one-axis left-right or a two-axis quad system So some of them are perhaps better, but I think we concluded that at the end of the day, it's just not a helpful framework from the word go. In episode 4, we looked at the history of the parties themselves. There, we looked at the 7 eras, or the 7 systems, as they're called, of U.S. politics, starting at the Revolution in Washington, working up through the 19th century, the era of good feelings, into the Civil War, early 20th century, all the way up to the present, where we're not sure if we're in the 6th or the 7th. Doesn't really matter. And as we looked through that, we sort of touched on some of the big tentpole policy positions of the two big parties, or the parties at the time. And you can see throughout history sort of the ebb and flow and ooze and shift of the strategies and themes that each party uses based on the era that they're in. So we saw that a lot of the big topics that are front of mind currently, like government spending and strong military and a lot of social programs, are newer phenomenons and were not these... Thomas Jefferson, as a Democrat, was not thinking about the same things that modern-day Democrats are thinking about. In episode 5, this was a favorite of mine. We looked at Duverger's Law, which is the political theory that a first-past-the-post election system, if given enough time, guarantees 2 mega-parties on either end of a spectrum, and then an unhappy middle, which bounces back and forth between the two parties. If you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 5, I would recommend it, obviously. Again, I said it in that episode, but I'll say it again here. This was one of those things where when I learned about it, it was really just such an eye-opening sort of revelatory moment. Really wild stuff. So continuing on with the election method theme, episode 6 was about some of the systems that other countries use. We talked about plurality systems, majority systems, proportional systems, a bunch of different versions and flavors of each of those, some of their pros, some of their cons, ways they worked, ways they didn't. And then in episode 7, we sort of capped off this theme with a whole episode about mixed member proportional, which is my personal favorite election method, which keeps whatever good there is in the first-past-the-post system, but adds on a proportional element to the House of Representatives. So it gets rid of gerrymandering, it gets rid of minority, the tyranny of the minority, it encourages political diversity, it winds up creating a governing body which best reflects its populace. It's good stuff. So episode 7, mixed member proportional, or MMP as we like to call it. It's just a generally awesome idea used in a handful of countries around the world. And then in episode 8, which was last time, we looked at centrism and third parties. We looked at a handful of the more prominent third parties, how they operated, some of their big ideas. And this was perhaps more of a personal conclusion, but I think at the end of the day, third parties are idealistic at best, unhelpful at worst, and just sort of generally aimless, especially in a Duverger-riddled first-past-the-post system. A third party is, best-case scenario, is there just going to be a spoiler effect for whichever party is closest to them. At the end of the day, why bother? A lot of them, I feel, have a few pet issues, but then if they either neglect to take a stand or don't care about some of the really big stuff that people typically care about, then there's no incentive for people to leave their big monolith parties on either end and join them in the middle. So if you create a third party, the only people you're going to attract are people with the same idiosyncratic policy filtering mechanism that you have. Which brings us to today, episode 9. I'm going to take a minute here to sort of outline my vision for season 2, because it's going to be very different than season 1. My overarching goal with season 1 was to sort of lay out a bunch of information about the current state of things as they are, sort of where we are, how did we get here, and then season 2 will be, in light of all this, how do we move forward? So here's my proposal. Rather than try and take the pieces of the system we live in currently and try and fashion some sort of stained glass window of a bit of this and a bit of that and a sliver of this from over here and a smidge of something from over here, I thought it would be fun to try and sort of build an idea, a philosophy, completely from the ground up. Sort of start from scratch and just build it literally one step at a time to see what I could come up with. With the idea being that hopefully we can create this sort of structure where you can put a political idea in one side and you can watch it go through all the steps and that a somewhat predictable and hopefully logically coherent conclusion pops out the other end. Sort of like a mathematical function, right? Where you put one number in and you know what the output should be if your function is correct. Something similar to that. But I can hear you now. You think to yourself, well, didn't we just spend an episode talking about how third parties and centrism doesn't work and it's not effective? And I would say, yes, very good. You were listening. But my goal in this is to not try and find a niche in the current left-right spectrum, right? We're going to kind of take all of the mess as it is now and purposefully step outside of it. And I'm sure there will be parallels that you can draw from one to the other and say, well, this idea that you've just put forward is very similar to something that this group over here had said. And that might be the case. But my goal is not going to be to try and find a little subgroup, a little unoccupied slice of the current spectrum. We're going to really try our best to completely step out of that, both in language, I think primarily, not using shortcuts and idioms and platitudes, that kind of thing, but hopefully mechanically as well. Because when you think about the two big parties, we understand generally their big favorite policy positions that they like to harp on. But I don't know how many of us could sit and walk through each of the steps, the thought process steps that get you from skeptic to adherent, right? For either party. Like, say you're an advocate for small government. Well, why? Why are you an advocate for small government? Let's go through and do the work and start step one, step two, step three, step four. Let's build it out completely so that if you put a question about the function of the federal government in one side, you can watch it boom, 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 boom through the whole pinball machine, and out the other end comes small government. And you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. I understand now. So we're not skipping to the end. We're going to try and do the work. And as a further point against the, well, aren't third parties a waste of time? This is not an attempt to create a functional party necessarily. I mean, that would be cool if a bunch of people thought this was worth all starting a little club over, but I'm not quite that naive at the moment. This is a thought exercise, a philosophical exercise to just see if we can do this and build this mechanism so that as we encounter news articles and current events. You can put them through this mechanism and something pops out the end that you can understand how you got there and then use that conclusion as you move forward in real life, to whatever extent that actually means. So obviously, when it comes to making conclusions, that's going to require us to establish sort of well thought out positions on things, meaning that up to this point, I've worked fairly hard to try and play things as evenly as possible without using preferential language to any current sort of status quo. But moving forward, there's definitely going to be strong preferences shown for certain ways of thinking. I mean, it's foolish to think that you can make some sort of bland, beige, philosophical engine that will just, satisfy every possible conviction. So that is not the goal. The goal is going to be create a philosophy that can clearly demonstrate the process of why I believe what I believe. So it is going to be inherently self-serving, right? I have convictions about things, very strong ones, and so I'm going to work to build a mechanism that can demonstrate the thought process behind those convictions. This is not some sort of, like I said, boring, aimless, existential Swiss Army knife. So that's it. That's going to be the goal of season two. Last week, I did announce that the email address is up and running. I did not hear from many folks this week, but I also did not post an episode last week, so we'll forgive you. If you'd like to drop us a note, ask a question, submit a clarifier, give me an idea for a future episode, you can send an email to contact@elrcpodcast.com. contact@elrcpodcast.com. Next week, we will dive into season two. I'll probably spend the first episode doing a super ground level overview. I have the structure of season two fairly well laid out, so I'm excited to get into it. It's going to be a little more esoteric, a little more crunchy, so I hope that you'll be willing to stick with me through this journey. And if I say something that's completely, crackers, I want you to tell me. I need that feedback. I'm hoping to include a couple interviews coming up. That should be fun. I have some folks who'd like to come on and tell me what a goofball I am, so that'll be interesting. So until then, thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share. We crossed the 500 download threshold. I got a nice little email. It was very exciting. Very appreciative for all the folks who have listened and reached out and given good feedback. I appreciate it very much. So until next week, keep your stick on the ice, and we'll see you later.